now we're on to the Microsoft School Transformation Survey. And this is going to be the tool that we're going to be focusing on for the rest of this call. As we mentioned earlier, we'll focus on a different tool every time. But this is a really nice tool, especially for schools kicking off the new school year, or perhaps they're new to the Microsoft Schools process, and they want to get a baseline of where they're at the moment. Angela, tell us a bit about the Microsoft School Transformation Survey.
Sure, Megan. So this is actually a new version of what used to be called the Partners in Learning School Research Survey. And many of our teachers and schools used to love that tool because it was, like you said, it's just such a wonderful tool to do a baseline survey and understand where the school is at in terms of 21st century teaching and learning. So essentially what's happened is that Partners in Learning School Research Survey tool has been revamped, reinvigorated. Some of the questions have been sort of re-looked so that it's relevant for 2017 onwards.
Okay, so I know lots of schools used to use the Partners in Learning School Research tool. And in fact, at our organization, SchoolNet, we used to use it all the time too. When we started a project at a school, we'd like to do that survey at the beginning to see how things were at the school when we started our project. And we then do the same survey again at the end of the intervention to see how much progress the school had made. And schools can use this in a similar way. If schools, as part of the Microsoft Schools program or part of their internal processes, are aiming to make some improvements or implementing a new program, they could maybe take the survey now at the start of the school year and then decide for themselves, let's retake the survey in 6 months' time or at the end of the school year and see how much progress has been made.
It was also, many schools used to use this as a starting point for identifying maybe what they were doing really well in terms of 21st century teaching and learning, and maybe where some of their gaps were, and then identifying what their priorities were going to be for that year. And then again, sort of using this as an assessment to see how well they actually did based on what they'd prioritized.
Yeah, it works really nicely as a tool to stimulate discussion. Because the input is completely anonymous, the school leader or the school administrator who sets up the survey is able to see the results, but nobody can see who said what. So teachers find it a very safe space to select the option that best describes their feelings, not the option that they think their school principal or school manager is hoping they'll select. So it's really nice, at a staff meeting to go through, this is our baseline survey. And as you said, to determine these are things we're doing really well, let's do more of those. And these are areas for possible improvement. You know, we've scored quite poorly on how we are bringing 21st century skills into the classroom, or we're not doing a great job of real world learning. And let's think about how we can improve those so that we do better the next time. So, first of all, to set up the survey, somebody needs to become the administrator of the survey. It's very quick and easy to become an administrator, and I'll give you the link in a few slides' time. Basically, you just watch a quick office mix. It takes about 5 or 10 minutes that explains to you how to go about setting up your survey. And at the end of the office mix, you'll get a code that you can type in to the Microsoft Educator community that makes you a survey administrator. And from there, you can generate a link to send to all of your staff members. Each teacher then gets sent a link to the survey. And once the time is up for taking the survey, the administrator can see the results. In fact, as the administrator, you can even see 22% of the teachers have done the survey, 45% of the teachers have done the survey, so that you can remind them, in staff meetings, remember by the end of this week, you must have finished the survey because we want to see the results. So what do the results look like at the end? And on the screen is an example of just one of the slides. And this one shows how teachers have scored themselves and how school leaders have scored them on different dimensions of 21st century learning. Angela, what, do you notice anything sort of worth commenting on in this slide?
Yeah, and it was always interesting when we used to do this with schools, what the perception of the teachers was versus the perception of the school leaders. And we often used to find that there was a discrepancy between the two. So often the school leaders used to think that, you know, the school was doing really well in a particular area when in fact the teachers felt that they weren't, or maybe the other way around. So it's a really good way to sort of highlight the importance of sort of communication between the teachers and the school leaders to really understand what's actually going on in the classroom. And also for school leaders to know whether the policy and the strategy that they're setting for their school is in fact being implemented in the classroom.
For sure. You know, it's very easy for a teacher to put on a really good show when the principal's coming around to conduct school visits, or perhaps if it's performance appraisal time, you don't want to admit to too many things not going so well in your classroom. But if the survey is anonymous and it's done with the intention of let's have an open and frank discussion of where we are, as you said, it's very interesting to see the perceptions of the teachers compared to the perceptions of the school leaders. So, you know, the data that's on the screen is really just taken from a mock survey just to illustrate how this works. But you can see for something like problem solving, the teachers think they're doing quite a good job. They give themselves a 2.63 out of a 5-point scale. But the school leaders in orange only rank that as a 1.5. So they don't think they're doing such a good job. But then other results are fairly similar. So students' ICT use, there's not much difference between what the teachers are reporting and what the school leaders perceive, and the same for educator ICT use. So it's very interesting to compare these results. And also to set benchmarks, you know, to decide, you know what, we're actually not doing a great job of extending learning beyond the classroom, and we're not doing a great job of global awareness or problem solving. How can we sort of up those scores by the next time we do the survey? So let's talk about the different dimensions there that are measured. We've already seen that the aim of this survey is really to look at 21st century skills. What else does it measure?
Well, maybe before we talk about what else, it might also just be interesting to know that this survey was actually designed leveraging a lot of the content that was produced in the 21st century learning design course, which a lot of you might have done before. And that looks at different dimensions for 21st skill skill development. So that's one of the key areas that it focuses on. It also looks at innovative teaching practice and what the teachers are actually doing in the classroom, how the teaching practice has changed and moved away from a more traditional teaching model, how it's focused on student-centered pedagogy, and then things like extending learning beyond the classroom. In other words, how much sort of real-world learning and real-world problem-solving is actually taking place in lessons. And then, of course, one of the dimensions, and I think which a lot of teachers are interested in, is how ICT is being used for teaching and learning. And then it looks at different areas, like what are the barriers to the use of technology, how are teachers, what are they struggling with, why are things maybe sometimes difficult in the classroom, the professional development around this, how well are teachers collaborating between themselves to prepare or even facilitate lessons. And lastly, looking at incentives and recognition for innovative teaching and learning.
So Angela, you mentioned two really important things there that I think we should reiterate. And the first is that this whole school transformation survey is really based on sound research. Mm. and schools or Microsoft Innovative Educator experts who are very interested in this or who want to find out more really should look for that 21st Century Learning Design course on the Microsoft Educator community, because it's really fascinating stuff. And if your school, based on the survey, is looking to improve some of those dimensions, working through that courseware is a great place to start.
It really is an excellent course, and I think out of, you know, all of the Microsoft sort of courses that are available, it's always been my favorite course, and I think it's such a great way to sort of really concretize how the technology can be effectively incorporated into lessons, and how teachers can rethink the way that they design a lesson to ensure that the learners are given an opportunity to develop skills and how the technology can enhance or enable that.
Yeah, well, what I love about that course is although it's encouraging teachers to make really sound use of technology, the technology is actually not the main focus. So even schools or Microsoft Innovative Educator experts who are teaching at schools that don't have much in the way of resources could certainly still learn something from that course and think about how to make their school more innovative and do a better job of instilling 21st century learning in their students, even if they don't have heaps of technology.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The second thing you mentioned that I really think is great about this survey is it helps to sort of highlight what some of the barriers are. So teachers may be a little bit reluctant to speak to their school leaders about how they're not really recognized for being innovative, or there's sort of no incentives, or there are other challenges, like maybe the internet at the school is inadequate, or they'd really love to have some more professional development, but perhaps no budget allocated to that. So this survey can help to highlight those issues that maybe haven't really been discussed before. And between teachers and school leaders, they can think of, are there some innovative ways of getting over those barriers? Or are there some barriers that we have to live with and make do with what we can anyway?
Yeah, and I think what's interesting in terms of the actual research that was done with 21st century learning design is which are the most effective forms of professional development. And I think typically what happens is your professional development is done in a face-to-face forum, in a sort of a training type forum. But what this research found is that there are many other very effective ways of doing training, and a lot of that might just be sitting in another teacher's classroom and observing, or have somebody observe you and provide feedback, or attending a webinar such as this one to sort of learn about a new tool. So I think it really highlights different opportunities for professional development and strikes up a good conversation around those opportunities.
Okay, so I hope we've convinced you that this school transformation survey is really worth doing to start those conversations and to get that initial benchmark of where your school is at the moment, so that you can then set some goals. So I've talked about how you would do the survey. Once you've completed your survey, so give your colleagues maybe a week or 2 weeks to actually get the survey completed. Once you've got the results, set aside a staff meeting. Have a professional development afternoon or an early morning session to present the survey results. And what should schools do once they've got those results?
Well, I think we started talking about that a little bit earlier. I think there are probably two primary things to do, is to look at what is going really well and discuss why it's going well and how the teachers and the school can continue on that sort of that path. And then also look at maybe which areas have not been scored quite as highly, and choose some of those areas that you can actually start working on some sort of an intervention or a plan for improvement. And what we used to find when we did this with schools was it was a good idea to not try and focus on all of them all at once, but maybe identify one or two that you could prioritize, and then put a plan in place and then do an assessment or an additional survey at an agreed on sort of period after that to see if some improvement has been made.
Yeah, I mean, the really fascinating part of the survey is actually what's revealed the next time you do it to see what progress has been made. So,
Sorry, Megan, I was just going to add, I think there are also a whole lot of really useful documents and resources on the Microsoft Educator community looking at education transformation and all of the critical components around education transformation. So when you're having a staff meeting to review the results, it might be worthwhile reviewing some of those documents to see if they're actually useful tools to actually help you put some plans and strategies in place.
Yeah, and also if some of the terminology in the survey is unfamiliar and you're not really sure, so what exactly is this extending learning beyond the classroom, or what do they mean by collaboration? Is the sort of normal group work activity that we do collaboration, or is collaboration something more than that? If you're not familiar with some of the terminology or want to go into more detail, as Angela suggests, look at those documents on the educator community. There are some questions there that come up when schools do this survey, and I'd just like to sort of go through some of the commonly asked questions so that if viewers are wondering about these, they'll have the answer. The first is, what's the target class? In this survey, they keep asking you, you know, how often does the target class, you know, do this? And what exactly counts as a target class will be different for different teachers in different schools. If you're a grade one teacher, you teach your class pretty much every single lesson. So that would be your target class. But if you're a high school science teacher, you would teach, you know, this grade, this class in this period, and a next grade in another period. So you can just choose a typical class and count that as your target class. If you're a school leader, you may be in a position where you are still doing some teaching, but most school leaders don't actually have a class of their own. And then for you, a target class could just be a typical class at a school. Another question that's often asked is, are you a school leader or are you an educator? And I actually think most teachers are school leaders, and I hope that most school leaders are educators, but for the purposes of the survey, you kind of have to choose one or the other, and you just will select the option you most closely identify with. So a principal that doesn't do any teaching anymore will be a school leader. A head of department will need to decide if they're going to count as a school leader for the purposes of the survey, or if they're going to count as a teacher because they still are spending most of their time with a class.
And I think the administrator can make maybe also sort of guide that decision and suggest that all of the head of departments for the purposes of the survey might be school leaders.
Yes.
So I think the school can also make a general decision on how to...
I think that's a good idea, because actually when you set up the survey as the administrator, you've got to say how many school leader responses you're expecting and how many educator responses you're expecting. Mm. So it is a good idea to make a decision at a school that we are going to count the principal, the deputy principals, and all of the head of departments as school leaders, and you can count up how many there are, and everyone else is an educator, or whatever works best for your school. The final question is, can anyone work out who said what? And the simple answer is no. Not even the administrator can see who's answered. I've got to tell you that this actually can be a little bit frustrating as an administrator, because for a survey that I've recently set up, I can tell that 60% of the teachers have answered the survey, but I don't know who to hound for their responses and who's actually done it. But on the upside, it means that the teachers really do know that no one, not even the administrator, can see who's answered. So before we go, I do hope that having watched this call, you really want to be an administrator. So how you become an administrator is you first need to watch the office mix, and the URL for getting into that will be on your screen. And once you've watched the office mix, at the end of it, you will be given a promotion code. There's no cost to take the survey and there's no cost to be an administrator. But if you go into your profile of the Microsoft Educator community and you click on your profile and you go to the promotion section and you type in that code, a new line on your profile will then appear that says that you are able to set up transformation surveys and you can then access your surveys from there. I'll quickly try and show you how this actually works on mine. So here I am on the Microsoft Educator community. I'm logged in. You can see it says Hello Megan at the top. That shows that I'm logged in. If I click on where it says Hello Megan, I can scroll down to Transformation Surveys and I can go to My Surveys. And once I've opened that, I can see, okay, here's a survey that I've set up. 57% of the teachers have completed it. 66% of the school leaders have completed it. And if I click on where it says summary, I can call up a summary of the results that have come in so far for this survey. And I know that not all the results are in yet, so I'm going to give out another reminder at a staff meeting or when I see the colleagues at break, I'm going to say, you know, if you haven't filled out your survey yet, please do fill it out by the end of the week because I'm gathering in this data and would like to see it. But if I was going to present these results at a staff meeting, I could then use these really nice graphs that are generated by the tool. To show on the screen and to facilitate the discussion like we were talking about earlier. So that's it. That's how you become an administrator for the School Transformation Survey. If you'd like more information or if you want these links, just do a search for it on the Microsoft Educator community and more information will come up, giving you the background of the tool as well as that link to the Office Mix to become an administrator and even a one-page flyer that you might want to share with your school principal or discuss at a school management meeting to request permission to go ahead and run this school transformation survey at your school.
Yeah, and I think it really is one of the most powerful tools that we've got available. So I'd strongly encourage all schools to have a look at this and use it when they're looking at their planning for what they're going to be doing this year.
Yeah. So do take that survey, get set up and give it a go. And look out for the other great free resources on the Microsoft Educator community. Thanks so much for joining me, Angela, and for going through this month's tool. We'll look forward to the next one where we'll be talking some more about Minecraft in education.
Thank you, Megan.
Join us then. Bye.